Welcome to another episode of The Cubic Report. With me today is Les Booth, who's been on here before, and we talked about the subject of artificial intelligence. It's a topic that's just really hot right now, and we want to warn you that the content that we will be talking about today will be obsolete by tomorrow. So please, I hope that you can listen to this podcast as soon as possible. It's an exploding field that we hadn't even thought about. ChatGPT just came out December a year ago, and I just first learned about it in February. And already there's been so many advancements beyond this. But first of all, Les Booth is a creative collaboration architect specializing in many diverse fields, ranging from AI to fly fishing. He really is very, very diverse. He seems to have a website and an email address for every single one of his interests. I have known Les for almost 28 years, and he has helped me in the infancy of the development of my first websites. And here, he will give a knowledgeable perspective about AI after our first podcast, which we edited down to whatever it was, 35 or 40 minutes. We still recorded a lot more, but the information in it is already obsolete. We wanted to talk about some of the hot news and concepts that are going to be around to shape our lives. Now, in part one, we talked about AI, its capabilities, and its very quick development, as the quickly growing computer memory and speed have made miraculous things happen. So anyway, welcome, Les.
Good afternoon, Victor.
What I've asked Les to do here is this. Is that in part two, I'd like to talk about some of the benefits of AI and continue with more specifics. And he came up with six specifics. And actually, he wrote a report to me that I got this afternoon. I said, wow, Les, you have so much stuff here. You have such a well-prepared outline, script, if you will. And Les tells me that it really wasn't him. He had it generated by AI. So actually what you see here, what you hear, are people who've been generated by AI. So what I've asked him to do was to develop a podcast with six major talking points and appropriate replies on the topic of AI and its impact on writing, engagement, social confidence, forward thinking, and the last one, Christian evangelism. I might add this, is that I've had, after the first podcast we had, of course my audience is in large part members of the Churches of God, the United Church of God probably most. I gather that they are people who are oriented towards the career that I've had in the ministry. But one specific request was, tell us a little bit more about how AI could be used for evangelism. And that's one topic that we want to explore here today. I love talking to Les. He is a continuing waterfall of information, and we can't all cover it in a short period of time. So welcome to the podcast, Les, and let's start talking about AI and its growing influence.
Okay.
So let's get right to the points. I listed six here, and AI in writing was number one, which I use profusely. Almost every day, somehow I get to ChatGPT. And in some ways, I have not gotten into all the fancy stuff. I just basically mine the things that are free out there. And ChatGPT 3.5 is what I use. And with dictation into Microsoft Word and then running it through ChatGPT. I shouldn't probably give away too much about the way I do writing, but I do like to write. And I like to generate things in a way that I'm not encumbered with things archaic tools like typewriters, you know, or keyboards, but be able to use it. But anyway, I'd like to discuss, if we could today, AI and writing, and then point number six, AI and evangelism. So I'd like to discuss how AI is revolutionizing the writing process from assisting in research to generating content. And believe me, both those things are big with me. Particularly the generating content and putting it in a way where it's almost copy edited and ready to go. Then also I'd like to highlight the potential benefits of increased efficiency and overcoming writer's block and procrastination, which is a problem of mine. And people think that I'm just a continual generator of information spontaneously, but I'm not. There are things that I just get stuck on and then stuck on and before they move, and once they got moving, that's fine, but AI has helped me with writer's block. Then also, I'd like to have Les address concerns about AI replacing human writers and the importance of maintaining human creativity and oversight. And we've had a lot of discussions about this here several months back. So, Les, what do you say?
Well, first off, we'll just reveal the fact, like you said, this basically was generated by Claude, which is an AI tool developed by four members, I think, of the OpenAI, which is the father of ChatGPT company. They broke off and are doing their own thing, which for me is actually, I think it's a better tool. It actually works better than ChatGPT. They've got foreknowledge, so they can improve it on their own. The other aspect is, like you said, you like to use ChatGPT 3.5. That's still the free version for anyone wanting to use it. It's an attractor. It's that little fly floating on the water out there, attracting a trout to come bite. And if you like that one, hang in, man. ChatGPT 4 is going to be even better. All of them have quite a bit of hype going on right now. It's kind of like, you know, when you want to buy a car and you think you want a red SUV. And next thing you know, all you see are red SUVs on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's a psychosomatic condition. It's the same thing. When your interest goes into something like AI and specifics, which, Victor, I will blame you, got me going on this about almost 5 weeks ago now. We were discussing it. I was looking at it, you know, on the side, and kind of like playing around with like other people. And then I just fell flat face first into it. And it has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And as Victor, you mentioned, in a year and a half, just AI as a writing item, you know, for a tool for writing, for research, has gone from almost Buck Rogers science fiction to total reality, with a few caveats and hitches. One of the biggest caveats was I thought because of some of the hype, some of the AI assisting tools, many which have a cost factor, in other words, you buy into them, and they can be pretty expensive. Had at least one or two of the big ones had full access to the internet. That does not exist, except in one place, partially,
mm-hmm.
and it's with Google's Glimpse. And as I told Vic a little while ago, it is not user-friendly. But if you learn its specificities, it can be useful. However, if you want to find URLs that deal with a current topic in, say, writing a novel or writing a podcast or writing a short email section or an email burst, 5 or 6 different emails are going to be sent out over a period of time through an email service. You have that, and you can do that. Now, if you want to find 5 URLs that will support whatever you're saying, Google.
Mm-hmm.
Just Google search. It's still there. Go in. It'll give you the 5 and plus another 1,775,000, and you pick from them, and you will have to physically go search them, which we'll get to at the last part of that section, the need to maintain human creativity and touch. You should be. Just turn the AI loose and let her rip, and then take that and paste it. There are plenty of tools being initiated right now by universities, businesses, editors, and book publishers to catch those who just go with AI without a touch. It sounds really good, and it can have a lot of depth to it. But if you have been to an AI and you use it right, let it write for you, and you publish 5 or 6 different articles with it, it has a voice. But the thing about it is, unless you have it train your voice or your speaking intent, they're all going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And very quickly, they'll be seen like you're one person writing in 5, you have 5 split personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So there are dangers in this, and there are things you have to watch for. I think one of the greatest things that's going to revolutionize, as Vic has already pointed out, it's done for him. I know it's doing for me. I have an idea. I have several stories that I've written out to 1,500 to 3,500, some of them 7,000 words. And I follow a line. I've got outlines for different things, for a novel, short stories, a series of short stories. And I can write these out if I get to a point that I get another idea. And so my fly wings flap and I go to something else. I come back to the original. It's like, where was I going with this?
Mm-hmm.
I can throw it into ChatGPT or another, like I use Claude, some AI generating topic tool that'll just take it off in that direction. And if I don't particularly like that, I can take a segment and put it in another and just write out your basic ideas, put it out in an outline. If you're having trouble putting them together, making them cohesively go, or reaching a point, or maybe even if you're writing a, and go over them and add your own voice and your own sensibilities to it, then it's yours.
Absolutely. That's what I have felt all the way along, because if you take a look at the cheap way, are required to write, like a student, for example, yes, or writing reports, you have certain things that are written in a priority that you have, or with certain in-speak that you have that's yours, not necessarily organizations, but certain cute words that you use, that's your personality, or certain thoughts that are generated by the way you are with jokes or flippant talk or, you know, conundrums,
exactly,
whatever, that are yours. Then actually you can discover yourself and say that, here's the way I really want to put this stuff. And
right,
I can use ChatGPT, I can use artificial intelligence to help mold this. And I don't spend so much drudgery of going through content and trying to make it fit together, because it ties things together so nicely. I can't believe how smoothly it ties it together. And actually, it's
right,
creating a better person out of me. I mean, it's elevating me to another level. That's the way I feel personally. And
right,
I feel like those who wisely can use it this way can find that it really does enhance the intelligence of you individually within an organization or within a thought process or within even an ideology. So I feel like there are many good uses. Unfortunately, there'll be the bad guys, you know, that'll come in.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd like to talk about the good guys, you know, first.
Yeah.
About the things that we can do.
Another thing to remember is that for to generate an idea, you use it as a tool to spur your ideas. We all, for me personally, like I said, I can sit down and write up to 3,500 words in a go, and I keep a story flowing. But after a moment, you got to kind of stop and read it and think what it is, and I'll have to set it aside for a while. When I come back to it, I'll start again, but I've got other things going that just kind of interfere with it. Now, in the typical writing a book or even a magazine article, I had a good friend up in Traverse City, passed away several years ago, who could sit down and write a 3,500-word magazine article on any topic in hunting or fishing you could ask for. And he could barely see his computer screen. And he always typed everything one finger type at a time. But in, you know, like in 45 minutes to an hour, he had have that done. And he could talk about squirrel hunting every 6 months, and it would all be different, but he'd be saying the same basic things. That's just how good he was at that. He was very experienced. Well, someone starting out new is not going to have that level of experience. But you take what you have and what you've acquired, what you've read and heard about, and you start with an outline and write it out. An AI tool can assist you to get much further down the line quicker. And that for me, I mean, it's something that's an impending for me. I'm in the upper age category right now. And on the docket, I have a good 30 books that I want to write. And I've got a lot of material written for it. But if I were to sit down and take the time, which I enjoy writing, but if I were to take the time to go to a place and just kind of go through the knock them out, so many words a day, whatever, I don't have enough lifetime to that, to do that. So this can speed up things for me and help me to get those books finished. I hopefully all of them are worth doing that. But that's the thing that any AI assistive tool should be looked at. It is just that. It's a very fast way to get assistance. It's like the old show, that taxi, whatever it was called, and you hop in a taxi and they're driving you around town and they're asking you questions and you have a shout out. You can call somebody to help you give an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what the AI assistive tool is. Maybe you get stuck on something. You can't really think of how to phrase it. And let's say you're using Grammarly and you're getting little red and green dots fly up all the time that your grammar isn't right. Or maybe just you're using improper words. You can say, highlight a paragraph, throw it in, and it'll reword it for you.
Right.
And it's like, that's what it is. I had this part over here, and it does it, boom. So that's not cheating.
No.
Any more than many of my artist friends paint their paintings that are fabulous using photographic reference.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have six or seven photographs of the exact same spot at different times of the day so they can see how the light comes to the trees and whatever. And that's what this is. It's assisting. As long as you're not just reeling right off of whatever the AI tool gives you and then post it or publish it, you know, it's good. And that's the part where it can be incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's truly well said, because that's where the track that I'm on. And I also have, I don't have that many books in my head, but I do have a lot of memories. I'm trying to write some of my memories down.
Yes.
Of my 55 years in the career that I've been. Plus, before that, my adventures, if I could put them that way, overseas, and the things that we've done, and the humanitarian things. I have lots and lots of things. But if I was to do it all manually, so to speak, just on paper and pencil, I'm going to run out of lifetime. You know, we don't really know where we are.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm kind of getting on a roll here of writing some things. And you can actually even invoke a style or some other author's feel to make it sound like anything from Edgar Allan Poe to Winston Churchill. Not that you would want to.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But to have it said more eloquently or have it said more plainly.
There's another point that I want to make to it. I found this out several years ago when I started on Photoshop back in the early 90s, late 80s, actually, 89 and 90. But up until about 95, it was a rudimentary tool. And then it took a giant leap. And I knew how to paint and do various other graphic designs, pencil sketch, pen and ink, and done a lot of it. But I am too ADD to stay with something.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I would get a wash on, say, for a background, I'm bored. I've lost interest in the painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this discussion with a lot of my painter friends, and they just kind of grin. And some of them do it too, and they have to go away. And they're, you know, they've been in their studio, they'll have 16 panels ready to paint in various stages. And when the notion strikes them, they paint on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found going to Photoshop and sitting down with it, even though it's can be a complicated tool, I can put in 8 hours straight and never lose concentration and just be excited and going because I'm seeing new things. And it's the kind of the shiny thing item. But I have learned color theory. I've learned perspective. I've learned transitionals, the items that make a good painter very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned those in the same light right here. A person who they've got ideas in their head, but they just don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
Or they struggle with it. And that's that proverbial sign of, once upon a dark and stormy night, throw it away and do that multiple times. After a while, you just become so frustrated that you give up.
Mm-hmm.
And this, with these tools, you can see what they call in psychology, the sparks of success.
Mm-hmm.
You taste a little success and go on. And it helps you to complete out your material. And I know people have used tools like this. One, Scribner, is one that's kind of analog still, in which you write an idea and you can set it over to the side and you have a special place to put your character building, your scene building, your outline, and you can go to it and it's a memory kick.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll write a little note and you'll come back to that one, you know, 3 hours or 3 days later and go, oh, that's just what I needed. It's like anything. It's a boost. And that same thing happens with using these adaptive tools, AI.
Well, one thing, too, is that there have been many things that have been mechanized or, you know, put into mass production. At one time, for example, you know, radio, I just bring this up a bit, radio, television, you know, publishing, newsletters, whatever, it could only be done by people who had the machinery for it. It could be done only by one who had a fancy printing press.
Right.
And now you can have, anybody can do a newsletter. You know, you have free software that'll produce the newsletters and everybody can have one and people advertise, look, we can get you to do this, we could get you to do that. radio stations, for example. You know, when I grew up, we had like seven AM stations in town and no FM stations. I remember when the first FM station, you know, came in. Now the field is crowded. Every station streams. You can listen to the content of any radio station backwards and forwards, you know, all the time. I go back and listen to my hometown radio station in Minneapolis, WCCO, just to kind of feel the feel that I had back then. And then you can have your own radio station. Everybody can have a radio station, but who's going to listen to it? Who's going to pay attention to it when everybody's doing the same mechanized thing? But
you have to stand out, and that's difficult.
Yes, and they say if you don't stand out, you won't stand up. And I fully understand that. The same thing has gone into podcasting, and the same thing which is AI is generating. You know, there are, you know, every day there are 3,500 new podcasts every day. You know, there's over like
that's in the U.S.
the U.S. They're just multiplying like crazy. Of course, 9 out of 10 of them fail after the first few episodes, and it's hard to get them going. But then there are a few that do bubble up to the surface, and I'm hoping that mine will. You know, I mean, I really do enjoy the whole process and enjoy the guests I have. I love talking to you when I can grab you, you know, and get you to focus a little bit, you know, on doing something, which I appreciate.
Shiny thing.
It's a shiny thing. But in a way, this mass production has not hurt. People feel that AI is something different. Maybe it'll settle down to where people will realize that, look, I can't become the great author that the companies are promising me to become, you know, a great published author. Big deal. You know, you produce a book and you just give them away to your friends.
right. Vanity publishing.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, you might have dreams of it being something special, but unless you're writing to a specific group that wants you to, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I know that I try to, as you said, you kind of learn techniques. I look at certain magazines that have excellent authors. For example, Economist. I feel like they write so well. It's written so well. It is written from a perspective. They don't even give their name. I mean, they don't even byline them. But they are written so well. And I said to myself, I wish I could write like that. I wish I could think like that. And AI perhaps can bring that out and bring out some of those qualities that can, like I said, bubble to the surface and become those things that you seek after and that you aspire to.
Well, it's like I was saying about using Photoshop. One of the best things that I can see from things like Grammarly. I've been using Grammarly for only 5 years or more.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Probably more like 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I've always used the free one. I haven't paid for it. I don't need it that much. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when I write, I have a voice that I write in. I've got at least 5 different ones. One's a very colloquial, country type, kind of like Ken Hubbard, who did the famous Abe Martin series of cartoons back in the early 1900s in Indiana. It's a very country, colloquial, you know, backward somewhat communication, up to very sophisticated, very intellectual, academic type of sophistication. So when you write like that, you have different verbiage that you use. And there's also differences in punctuation. Mm-hmm. There is Spunk and Wagnall, straight off the book, exactly however editor would like it. And then there is loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, when people read a book or they read an article, they're not looking for punctuation. They're looking for content story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about punctuation is, you know, that famous saying, you know, come eat grandma. Come eat grandma. You know, thank God for commas or a lot of people would die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it punctuation is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But it also acts like traffic signals. It, you know, helps the flow of things. However, if you try to apply Funk and Wagnall to a country story, like a cowboy poetry reading, it doesn't work because it's not that genre. And you have to speak it in that colloquial voice. The other thing, too, I want to make a point of, let me finish out, is that the fact that using these tools will improve your writing.
Mm-hmm.
They will improve your grammar. They will improve your knowledge of sentence structure. And most important, anyone, when you ask or anybody that's written or gives seminars on how to write, the one thing they always say is read read, read, and read some more. Because the more you read, you get words.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also get phrases of words. And you get voices saying words.
Right.
So it's real important to understand the art of that writing. Now, onto another thing, I think we talked about, as you mentioned, not everyone will be a next Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, someone writing poetry would be Edgar Allan Poe. And there's a lot of darkness you don't want in Edgar Allan Poe. But Walt Whitman, for instance, you're not gonna do that. Maybe you will. But the important thing is everybody's got a story.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the one story, but you write it. And if there's one story in your head that needs to get on paper, it's your life story.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are others in your background. There are, in your case, I've heard your story many times. It's, as many times I've heard it, it's still interesting. It's fascinating. It's remarkable and it's miraculous. So, you know, there are people within your family who would like to be able to open that book and read and find out what grandpa, grandma, great-grandpa, great-grandma, you know, grandpa's doing, you know, how all these things are relating. If there's, you know, one major truth, you know, in the Bible, from the standpoint, Genesis to Revelation, I like to say it's the story of the plan of God, why he did it, what he's doing, and who's included, and what's happening at the end. And the bottom line of thread is the life and times of humanity when they don't do God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And a few little bright spots you see is somebody did it God's way. And it's that life storyline.
And that could
everybody's be everybody's life has that.
And then that could be the jump off to the next point that I want to get to.
Okay.
About right. Christian evangelism through AI. Because you tell a story and you tell it well about your life, about examples and about things that you did right and also things that you did wrong that you learned from.
Yes.
And that
yes.
could be a lesson for others. In fact, that's the whole story of the Bible.
It's
basically
it.
Yeah. Human behavior, how it's really messed the world up and why there's going to have to be intervention because man just refuses to learn from it. But let's go yes. on to this next point about it.
Mm-hmm.
I said we have six different things, and we have at least six different podcasts. We still have more we could talk about writing, but I do want to squeeze this one into this
yes.
episode, and that is AI and Christian evangelism. I would like to explore the potential applications of AI in spreading the message of Christianity and engaging with people speaking spiritual guidance. I would like to discuss how AI-powered chatbots and virtual assistants could provide personalized responses to questions about faith, scripture, and Christian living. I'd like to consider the benefits, such as reaching a wider audience and offering 24/7 support to those seeking spiritual guidance, and also address concerns about the limitations of AI in providing genuine spiritual connection and the importance of human involvement in evangelism. This is an area that may be of certain controversy because I have had certain poems that I generated, and I posted one yeah. that was so sweet and beautiful, and it was right to the point, and I had one response was, "That's the devil." You know, that couldn't possibly be human, and of course, couldn't possibly be God, but it was something that is this another tool of the devil, AI. But I would like, Les, for you to enlighten us, and I know we can talk about this far more than just in the time that we have, about yeah. AI and Christian evangelism.
Let's address that last point first. We'll start at the bottom, kind of reverse order on this, and somewhat addressing the concerns and limitations of AI and providing genuine spiritual connection and the importance of human involvement. That addresses just your last comment. So much has been said about AI from a very negative standpoint, that AI will take over the world. I mean, that's been the theme of so many movies and science fiction books because of one reason and one reason only. AI is what humans make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, humanity has shown without a question that when we start driving something, we're going over the cliff in sometime in the future, sometimes faster than others. So there is a distinct feeling among many people, and it happens to be in a lot of conservative elements of every religion on earth. The more conservative you are in your religion, the more you hold to basics. And some of those basics are not what's really written, say, in your documentation or taught. It's what people talk about. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a perceived basic. In Christianity, conservative means you follow the Bible. And it's unfortunate. A lot of people who consider themselves conservative Christians really don't know what's said between Genesis and Revelation, because they really haven't read it for study. You know, a year time to read the Bible, bang, 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 bang. If you read your science book or you read your manual for your car like that, you end up with, oh, I did it, but what about it?
Yeah.
You really don't have anything to prove it. So AI can provide a lot of talking points for good as long as people have an open mind. We already went through the era of where you have an open mind so open that your brains fall out. That's not open mind. That's foolishness. Mm-hmm. Open mind means you'll listen, but there's an ear, a filter that's coming through. You're listening with God's filter. And it very quickly, you can ascertain that's coming obtuse. That's not linear, straight in like God. So there will be negative impacts of AI. That's for sure. But you don't have to make it that. That's right. The whole thing. So in providing the genuine general connection, or genuine spiritual connection, it's how you are internally and how you express it through the AI tool. And again, like we talked in writing, you use it as a support, not as the gospel. Mm-hmm. So that's the importance of the human involvement. When you combine the efficiency and the reach of AI, there are many things that we can add personal touches in there and genuine care material that provides a very powerful approach to getting the word God's way out. The other aspect is to realize this is only an attractant. You know, it's just like artificial fly. It's an artificial mayfly, artificial grasshopper, whatever. The fish bites on it. It will give it no nourishment whatsoever. And the idea, like in fly fishing, catch and release, you reel the fish in, you unhook him, get him back to strength and let him go again to go eat a real grasshopper or a real mayfly and get nourishment. Mm-hmm. So when a person comes, they've been enticed and they go to seek information. That's where you don't have a robot talking to them. You have a regular, fallible human being who is guided by God's Spirit to do so. That's where it will work. So from the bottom end of it, that's addressment of this. Open your mind and realize that just because it's coming from computers, it's coming from something that you don't understand, which ignorance is a driver of many of the controversies that we have today, look at it for what it can do. Mm-hmm. Because I can tell you that when the pencil and the ink pen were invented, there were people who saw them as instruments of the devil. Mm-hmm. And the reason was some of the very first things people sketch out was pornography. Mm-hmm. Or they would write statements that are blasting against either religion or other people. Mm-hmm. So in the hand of man, any technology can be profane, vulgar, and wrong. But also at the same time, the Bible was written. God inspired it. It was written, and supporting documents have been written to guide people to it that are quality. That is when you go out and you reach and have God inspire you, and you go with His Holy Spirit to guide you, it will work.
And the thing is about AI, it seems to be was one more element where people don't look at it as a tool of, you know, the devil or whatever, but right. Maybe as God, you know, where they worship AI.
Yes.
and think that it's sentient, that it actually has its own conscience. It does not. You made that point last podcast we had. Everything in AI is generated by human beings.
I mean, yes.
Everything that's been put there is how it's been reorganized and you know, parsed and analyzed, you know, even by itself. But it is not. It does not have a conscience. And that's one thing, even people like Musk and others who, they want to be able to pass on eternity of their own conscience to someone else. That is something that is becoming recognized, just like life in the universe, where it doesn't seem to exist. This does not exist where we can create something bigger than ourselves. In fact, it may drive us to look to the one who created us, who gave us the technology, gave us the capabilities to come to the point where we have. I feel like as some people who are kind of thumping their chest as being great inventors of AI technology will be humbled by the fact that it does not have a heart. It does not have a conscience. And even if they try to program inclusivity into it, you know, it gets to be ridiculous. I mean, there were some things that were brought in about rewriting American history, even. And they showed a projected video of George Washington, who was black. You know, I mean, it's just nonsense like that can appear.
Yeah. But the thing that, another thing to remember is my personal opinion, okay, for whatever that's worth, and looking at what's going on, if God allows time to go on long enough, and it won't be long, in my estimation, that they already have all of the materials necessary to create basically an android person, a human, that could walk in and look just like you, and walk in the room, and they can make it as Victor 23 or Victor 82, doesn't matter, and have the same voice and everything look like it, and be programmed, have movements, you'd be as fluid as can be. It's astonishing what some of those android-like items have been made today and how human-like they are. And with AI in a things that were just developed, literally have been released in the past 3 and 4 weeks, to be able to make faster, smaller, more intense the delivery of information, access and delivery, in that you can have this more human-like appeal. One thing will not be there. This android will be no more along as a human than an ape, because it lacks the spirit in man. It's actually that entity.
It does not have the spirit of life itself.
Yeah, spirit of life.
God is originator of life, and we don't have that figured out.
And it's the one thing that makes humans and animals separate. Now, you can have an android be able to react and act on various things, but they will never have the emotive context of a human. And they will do things. This is what the scary part would be, is that they would, okay, I'll give you an interlude to this. Yesterday, the big news was Elon Musk was suing OpenAI. And the big thing was Elon felt that OpenAI did not follow through with their contractual obligations as OpenAI's name being open sourced. Yet when they come back to find what really happened was Elon wanted it all for himself. You know, develop this and he was going to take it all. Okay, the shortest or the weakest link in any chain is the one that has a crack in it. The weakest link in AI is us. And because of all this kerfuffle that's come up about this, as well as Microsoft getting hit with some stuff from the feds, and a couple people being arrested at a couple of big places, there are chinks in the armor of AI showing up right now. It's happening way too fast, way too broad. But again, we humans will be the weak link. And it'll be us that will bring it down and keep it from being really what this fear factor will be. So instead of looking at the automaton android that's going to take over the world, realize that before that would ever happen, there's a lot of good that can be done.
Right. And so we're trying to ride that wave of good. And I feel like we can. You know, the Bible talks about the making of books. There'll be no end. I mean, that was a prediction of AI.
Right then.
But also another prediction was in Matthew 24 that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. You could have, you know, we look upon that as referring to atomic and nuclear. In a way, some of that type of warfare is kind of coming into the background. There's other things that are even more dangerous that affect everyone on this planet.
And yeah, there's at least 35 things of and by themselves, if engaged, could bring about the end of life on planet Earth.
Right. We've had almost, 80 years since the
doomsday clock.
Since Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Oh yeah.
Had that, and the whole world has been held at bay because of knowing that they would destroy mankind unless there's a crazy man who doesn't care, which we have several of those there, in the world. But anyway, what I'm saying is that AI is just another one of those things that could bring about that, and we don't even know where this will go. In fact, when we do a follow-up to this podcast, which I hope it isn't too long, that we can continue some of this discussion, because it's just fascinating what we come to understand, what you and I are talking about now that we didn't talk about 5-6 weeks ago, I knew. In fact, I first was introduced to ChatGPT. This was 12 months ago. And the things that I knew at that time are just child's play compared to all the creative things that we talked about.
Yeah, we haven't discussed the fact that probably in 6 to 8 months, you're really going to have to work hard to find a video that you can actually believe. It's phenomenal, the increase of AI-generated videos. And images are already at the point that it's, used to be people were worried about Photoshopped images. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now, absolutely created from the ground up in minutes, okay, full-fledged AI images. I'd like to, just give a couple little bites here of things that we can think about in this. The potential applications for spreading a 24/7 capability to answer, a 24/7 capability to provide direction from when a person contacts, say, a website and shunts them through everything, basically a tree of logic's tree. If this, then this, that, or this. It's like when you go to, call up a telephone, they'll put you various things, but the chats are, I go to a website now and I have a question about something, and it's an automated chat, which is basically an artificial intelligence that takes all their database of the company, you ask it a question, or you state you have a problem, and you have a virtual person who is taking you along. Mm-hmm. Now, where the sticker comes in this, where the difficulty is that it's difficult for people to phrase a question in writing sometimes. People who have dyslexia have a very difficult time of phrasing it, even where they're not writing it, just saying it. So at times they say it backwards, mm-hmm, or a little jumbled up. The new AI technology will take that and offer, are you meaning this? Mm-hmm. If you don't mean this, are you saying it this way? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like having a live person there. So in the aspect of coming in and asking a question through a website, say through our website at UCG, they want to know something about salvation. And they'll refer them to a booklet or to an idea and a concept or the basic doctrines. And instead of just giving them one thing to look at, have a discussion. Mm-hmm. Start having a discussion. And that's a prime discussion. It's just like, okay, we're going to have this first discussion. We'll set the parameters, what you're looking for. And that reply that you give and the content of that can go to a human being. I know what they want, or I have a much better. So I get it down from 25 questions to 3. Mm-hmm. And that can be a very big tool.
That's a huge tool, a huge tool to take it away from being overwhelming to focusing more on what you need, not what somebody else wants to direct you.
Exactly.
That could be beautifully done.
Yeah. And, like I said, there are people right now. I know that QPI is company, nonprofit, that's out of Washington. And I know the owner and developer of it. He's a psychologist, industrial psychologist, but he works specifically in suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. And QPI is like CPR. Mm-hmm. It's quick response initiative, and it's where you learn a series of tools to use in QPI to help a person to not make, as the gentleman says, I'll think of his name in a minute, He said, to not make the forever decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, the same way in which I know these are, they're starting to use AI to get this person to open up. They're mm-hmm. not, it's, you know, sometimes when you hear a person's voice, you know, as nice and as qualified as, and as desired to be a, helpful to another person, your voice may not come across to their ears in that tone.
Right, right.
So the AI can sense the tone of that person's voice. If they're calling a suicide line, chances are they're in stress and mm-hmm. distress. So they need a calming voice. So a calming voice, a young lady or a individual who have a man who has a very understanding voice. And a lot of times when guys call, they want to hear another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Women want to hear another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the voice, it can tell. And it does that. Where we can't do that fast, the AI can do it. And gets them down to a point that where a counselor can be called on the side and starts reading and listening to this, to the point that they can take over, and that person has been in the Jimmy Carter era, talked down off the shelf, you know. Mm-hmm. They have been brought down to a level of reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, you know, and for guidance and control, guidance and direction of spiritual knowledge.
Well, listen, Les, it's been great talking to you today. It's amazing
how quick. We
did it again, but I feel like, once again, we leave a lot of loose ends, which are good, because we need to pick up on those. And hopefully, those of you listening can comment on the things that we talked about here today and even suggest what can we talk about next time or flesh this out a little bit more. But Les, thank you so much for your insight in this subject and many other subjects.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vic. Appreciate it.
Okay, good. Well, we'll see you this weekend, and been good. Great talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Vic. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you for listening to us today on The Cubic Report. We welcome you to share this podcast and tell your friends about it. We can be found on a variety of platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, and many other platforms. You can easily find us at any browser address box by typing in the words The Cubic Report, and there we are. Remember, Cubic is spelled K-U-B-I-K. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at vcubic@gmail.com. That's vkubik@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. Come back soon for more.